Packed with phone calls with Linda Backman as we talk about our work, Souls on Earth. So we'll get to your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Our final hour with Linda Backman with her book, Souls on Earth, Exploring Interplanetary Past Lives. And I guess this did not surprise you, Linda, when you started getting them to tell you about their interplanetary past lives, did it?
It did not surprise me. I simply had more clients learning about being interplanetary souls than I'd had in the past. But no, it did not surprise me.
Of everything you've heard from these interplanetary past lives, which is the most shocking thing you've heard? What can you share with us?
Well, you know, what comes to mind when you ask that, George, is this whole notion. So we have more and more people being, including children, and maybe that's the best direction to go with my answer, because there's so many interesting things that I learned. But there are many children today who are interplanetary souls. And so I think what, if I can call it shocking, is I began to learn more and more, often at times from adult clients who were learning about their children. They came for a regression. Yes, of course, they were wanting to learn about their own soul's evolution, the adult client's soul's evolution, but they were coming to understand why their children had certain unique skills and certain unique challenges. And we began to learn more and more about, you might say, the increasing number of interplanetary souls on the planet now that are children. I believe, George, that a lot of the autistic spectrum diagnoses, and, you know, I am a licensed psychologist, so I understand, you know, some of these things from a clinical perspective, but I think there are many children who are dealing with ADHD, autistic spectrum, diagnoses, that are interplanetary souls who simply haven't been on Earth many times, but they've brought great wisdom. But they struggle with the human body, human communication, and life on Earth.
Okay, let's go back to the phones now with our guest, Linda Backman. We pick it up by going to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi, George. George, this is so interesting. You know, I've written a book, not yet published, A Philosophy of History. And in listening to Linda, you know, we have this adage that we've been told for many years that the past is prologue to the future. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, what a coincidence that she should be on the same night that Mark Biltz was on.
Yep.
Because it brings up the question about her spirit guides. Does she inquire about the future from these guides? And if they've lived for, you know, 50,000 years or so, it would seem that they would be better able to predict the future or to interpret the Bible prophecy than the average preacher.
All right, what do you think of that, Linda?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Michael, that you're asking that, because I had that question asked by someone just today. Do I teach future life progression? Do we know what's happening in the future? My understanding, Michael, about that is that the future is not set in stone. So that how we live our lives right now, whether each of us is living our purpose, our intention, and working through our karma, and I would also say embracing dharma, which means embracing what we've accomplished in past lives, that we are affecting what will happen. Let's just speak about the Earth and just make it simple. We're affecting life on Earth in the future that has some possibilities, but it's not set in stone, because it's tied to how do I live my daily life, Michael? How do you live your daily life? How does George live his daily life? That, to a degree, we're in charge of that.
Breaking story here, Linda, by the way, 200 people plus missing, feared dead in Laos as a dam has broken.
Wow.
Jeez, another tragedy.
Yeah.
Another tragedy. And when tragedies occur and people die, does the soul instantly leave that body?
Yes. So the soul basically, and I, you know, this is 25 years of following people's deaths, if you will, death in a past life. The soul almost has a sense of autopilot. And that autopilot, if we put some scientific explanation to it, that aspect, that slice of soul that causes us to be alive, it increases its frequency and essentially steps out of the body when the body dies. Does that slice of soul instantly sort of, you might say, leave the scene of dying or the scene of what happened? No. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, based on what are the circumstances of the death, what's the level of evolution of that soul. So, yes, the soul leaves the body, but may remain close for a period of time.
Next up, let's go to Joseph in San Diego, California. Welcome to the program, Joseph. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would just like to say that after in the early 70s, I studied religion my whole life, starting from when I was 5 years old. And I woke up in the morning, the light was on in the living room. I said, why am I here? And then after that, I just began reading texts of different religions as I grew up into after high school and into university. But then I came upon the Vedic literature from India. And so for 9 years, I was a celibate monk. I went to India. I fed thousands of people. I realized the Vedic literature is the highest literature in the world. I studied all religious texts in the world. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe we all have the soul, the antimatter within physical inert matter, which is conscious only because of not because synapses in the brain, but it's conscious because it's a soul. So anyway, but the problem is this earth is based on so much slaughter and killing animals that ultimately, our karmic balance is weighted so poorly that there has to be war to mitigate all the slaughter and killing and abortions and the animals. And animals have a soul. They're conscious. They feel pain. Slaughter them. It's a violent act. You eat them. You're eating violence. But it's a science. You can see God in your heart. It's easy. It's called Bhakti Yoga. It's a Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. It's called Bhakti Yoga. And I'd like you to address that, please, for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda, can you?
Yeah. So, Joseph, I'm not totally sure what your specific question is, but let me respond to what you're saying and things that I've learned from clients. I agree with you that we live on a planet that, you know, if we use slaughter in the broadest sense, we even slaughter ourselves through how we treat ourselves or how we criticize ourselves. I absolutely don't believe that war is a solution. I find I have a number of clients who go to past lives where they were involved with a particular war. Sometimes it's, I think about a client that I remember at Gettysburg, who was a soldier at Gettysburg, and how many people died at Gettysburg. What the spiritual guides of those clients, almost, you know, 100% of the time, when a past life is in a war setting and the client died in war, what the guides are basically, the reason they show that life to the client is that essentially they're saying war is not the answer. Slaughter is not the answer. But as we, I mean, we all know this, those of us, you know, listening, that Earth has not figured out how to evolve. Humans are struggling. And that's, you know, when I talked earlier, Joseph, about this 1% to 3% of evolved souls on the planet, and I don't mean that evolved souls are any better than anyone else. They've just lived through a lot of lives and worked on a lot of karma. They still have karma. It's the job, the responsibility of the 1% to 3% to do everything we can, whether it's social action, whether it's how we live our lives, to hopefully have an impact on the evolution of humanity. Yes, I do believe that one of the earliest progressive cultures on the planet is in India.
Why does it appear, Linda, that when you do good deeds, that you do get rewarded? It comes back to you.
Because that's how we're expected to live our life. When we do good deeds, it's simplistically, it's paying it forward. But we're working on our evolution as an individual soul. We're also working on the evolution of the planet.
Next up, we've got George in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, George, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. I love your show, as always.
Well, thank you.
One quick compliment. I think the souls of Tesla and Marconi are looking down at your show and you and illustrious host as, and they're nodding their heads and saying, that's a great use of our creation. And my two quick questions, and I'll take them offline, is higher consciousness a soul solely based on good and not evil? And how about a gray area like redemption while incarnate? Thank you.
Okay, let's start with the higher consciousness. What do you think that is?
I mean, higher consciousness is what we bring into body to act on to, again, assist the planet to evolve. And so that's our purpose for being here. Younger souls are working to evolve. They're often not, lobbying our elected officials to make wiser decisions. But yes, I as a soul, we're evolving, but we certainly don't bring perfect higher consciousness. That's what we're gaining as we evolve step by step by step. The term redemption challenges me. I'll just say, if we're thinking about redeeming ourselves based on free will decisions that we made in past lives, that we can balance those perhaps not so wonderful decisions, if that's what we're calling redemption, I totally think that's real. I don't find that regression work is anti-religion, but the term redemption to me probably ties to particular religions, and that I'm not sure really what the caller George is asking about in terms of redemption.
And do you find that when people, what I'm trying to say is that there are good souls and bad souls, right? I mean, what has happened to Hitler's soul, for example, Linda? Where is he? He was a lowlife. What has become of him?
I would hazard to say, based on regressions I've guided, that the Hitler soul continues to embody with the intention, but not necessarily the outcome, because it depends on free will, that soul continues to embody on Earth to balance what came before, to balance the free will decisions that Hitler made when that soul was embodied. That soul's given a chance to clean up karma. Whether that soul is doing that or not, I think is the jury's still out.
You would think that something that evil would just immediately go away. So it sounds like you don't believe in a hell concept, right?
I absolutely don't believe in hell. I honestly, in 25 years of guiding past life and between lives regression, I've not had a client die in a past life and go to a place that is either called or, looks like what we think of from religious teachings, hell. I think, honestly, hell in some ways, meaning challenges that we need to work through exists on Earth, exists in our lives at times. Then we're how we deal with challenging circumstances, difficult circumstances, if we want to call that hell, is here, and we're challenged to evolve.
We've got Dave in Portsmouth, New Hampshire now. Hi, David. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I just have a little question here that always bugs me when we get on the subject of these higher beings of any sort, whether they come in a UFO, however they get here.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with disclosure. It seems to me that's the highest of all principles. It's almost like the golden rule. You owe the masses an explanation. You owe communication to the masses when you have high-level information. And here I am listening to Linda. How are you, by the way?
I am very well, thank you.
And I'm listening to you intently. It's a very interesting show. But I'm just confused about these higher beings. They don't talk to me. I'm ignorant of all the, I mean, I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen anything. And I'm just saying to myself, why are these people so occultish, these higher guides, whatever they are? They have to be demonic because they act occultish. They don't declare. They don't disclose. They come in secret little packets, secret little people only know them. I'm confused about that. You're going to have to explain that. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they demons?
No, I do not think they're demons at all. When I'm guiding regression, we work with the client's spiritual guides. The spiritual guides almost always show up in a regression. I've learned how to connect with my own spiritual guides. It took me a long time, quite honestly. And I was a skeptic early on in this work, so I want people to know that. I was a skeptic when I began this work. But no, I don't believe if you're actually connecting with a spiritual guide, they are not demonic. But many of us, including myself, I had to learn how to use my own intuition to access my own guidance coming from a higher level. It's almost like exercising a muscle. It's a skill that you can gain, but so many of us, myself included, don't understand how to use our intuition. And I'll just say very briefly that most people think that intuition has to be clairvoyant, that if we're going to connect with a loved one on the other side or a spiritual guide, that it needs to be visual. Sometimes it's emotion-based. Sometimes it's pure thought. So I often teach people how to do that.
Well, and you do it well. We'll be back. And welcome back. Our final segment with Linda Backman as we talk about her work, Souls on Earth. I like your cover, by the way. Whoever your artist did a great job with it, Linda.
Thank you. It's the publisher that created that, so we can thank the publisher.
It's got that earthy feeling, doesn't it, or that universal feeling.
Good. Good. They do a great job. I appreciate them a lot.
The word demon has come up quite a bit tonight. Not from you, but from our callers. What do you think about just demons? Not necessarily your clients or what they've been through, but what do you think about the demonic realm?
Well, I do believe there is what we might call nefarious energy. I do believe that there are souls that are not in body that at times are trying to pull us off track. So I've had that experience. Actually, that short little piece, I forget whether it was in the first half hour or maybe second half hour, George, when suddenly you couldn't hear me,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised that that is a soul that doesn't want the truth to be spoken, doesn't want what I believe is valid because it comes from, repetitive clients where the information overlaps. So would I call that a demon? I suppose you could. I just choose to use different language. But I do think that there are souls that try to pull us off track, to speak truth, to live our intended actions in our life today.
Do the souls ever stop reincarnating?
If you're asking as a soul, like whether it's you, me, or anyone listening, will we potentially reach a place where we no longer incarnate? The answer is yes.
Is that a state of heaven?
It's a state of becoming a more highly evolved guide, and it's a state of taking on even more responsibility at the soul level to try to affect souls in body to make, we might say, choices with integrity or healthy choices. It's a more demanding job than even being in body.
Theoretically, shouldn't every reincarnation make you a better individual? Theoretically?
Theoretically, absolutely yes.
Yeah.
Easy to answer.
You're supposed to grow during each life, right?
That's correct. That is why we come into body, is to evolve, and then ultimately we take on more roles as affecting change on Earth. But yes, we come, it's like going to school. We come into body to go to school because this is where we evolve. We don't primarily evolve out of body.
And, you know, I'm convinced that the mere fact that we even talk about this means we've reached a certain level. Don't you think?
Totally. I mean, I think that's, for me, that's why I write books. It's like a lot of people will never have a regression, but they can pick up a book and read it, and hopefully they'll, you know, the content comes directly from guides. Yes, I think that's, you know, that's the whole point.
Well, let's go to final calls now. Let's go next to Doug in Dayton, Ohio, to get us started. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hey, George, man, it's a finally. I've been waiting since 2007 to get a hold of you. What an honor. And I've been a Coast Insider since then. I love it.
Thank you.
And what a great show you've got tonight. And Linda, you are amazing. And how could I find someone like you to go into regression with in my area? And, you know, like anybody in their area, how could we find somebody as gifted as you to do this with?
How do you do that? He's in Dayton, Ohio, for example.
Well, thank you, Doug, for your lovely comments. What I would suggest to you or anyone else is contact me, go to my website. You can contact me just quite simply at Linda@RavenHeartCenter.com, Linda@RavenHeartCenter.com. Contact me. I do train people in regression. At times I know people in, you know, in various parts of the United States. I also travel, Doug, about 50% of the time within the U.S. and outside the U.S., and I give presentations and talks, but I also guide regression. So you can go look at my website also and look at the calendar, but feel free to contact me, and if I know someone in your area, I'm happy to refer you to them.
Well, we've got you, Linda, in Boulder, Colorado. We have Dr. Bruce Goldberg in the Los Angeles area. So I'm sure there are good hypnotherapists all around the country, don't
you
think?
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Good luck, Doug. Hope everything works out. Get a nice past life regression. Joseph in Monterey, California is with us now. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George. I think you've called your show a few times.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, I remember the name
Linda.
And the voice.
Yes.
I'll make it brief.
Okay.
If I can, you can ask me questions. I think you might want to.
Okay.
My core color is a medium purple. You understand what that is?
I do.
Okay, I'm a hybrid.
Okay.
Hybrid soul. Serious. Okay.
I understand what you're talking about.
What?
Yeah, I understand that term hybrid.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I had a choice between reading Michael's book, Life Between Lives, his last book, or call Coast to Coast. I said, you know, I think I'll call Coast to Coast. Yeah, you know, I think I'll listen to Coast to Coast. Bam, you're on. Okay. I am also an explorer soul. I come from a different universe.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten, by the way, we don't experience anything the way human beings do, most of us. We find each other. We talk about things that, no, it's not, it wouldn't make sense to people. And we have experiences that go beyond the usual. And I think if your clients are travelers, they could tell you things. Okay. What she's saying, George, what she's saying is not only correct, she's scratching the surface. She knows a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael was only given so much information, and he even says so. Our guides won't tell us things. We have to earn everything.
Joe, did you do a past life? How did you come to this understanding?
I do past life travel. My regression is simply, it takes a minute to get someone into a past life. It's for me. And yes, I've had past life bleed throughs from other past lives in the dream state, in the waking state. The people I know are kind of advanced, and they tell you, but I know already. I don't get hypnotized so easily, but I go so deep that, you know, it's difficult for me to give up control.
All right, let's get a few reactions from you, Linda, before we move on to some final calls.
Joseph, what you're saying feels honestly very authentic. Your energy feels authentic, and what you're saying I believe is valid. And one of the things you're speaking about, just a brief comment here, is that often interplanetary souls are extremely intuitive. And it's because of where they come from. And that I feel that in your energy, Joseph, that's how you access information so easily.
We've got Elaine now in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Elaine. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. The problem I have comprehending is that we look everything on a linear fashion here in this earth, you know, but everybody keeps talking about all this in a past, present, or future, but if there is no time, how does all this be a progression? If there is no progression, it's all happening at once.
Elaine, I can easily respond to that. That's a great question. And I really believe, and, you know, do with this what you want, but I believe that everything is not happening all at once. My understanding, again, from 25 years of working with clients, is that we evolve in real time so that past, present, and future, if they're happening at a really high frequency simultaneously, is something that has nothing to do with why we come into body. Because, and do with this what you want, but I believe we evolve in real time.
And by evolving into real time.
Meaning we're evolving day by day. And so sometimes people will say, well, why do I need to know about my past lives? Because all time is happening at once. I honestly don't believe that is valid, and it's not how Earth is going to evolve.
Why are some people, Linda, so mentally tortured in their physical life? What's going on with them?
Well, I think some people are mentally tortured, perhaps. One possible explanation is there's something that ties to a past life that they need to understand in order to let it go. And I think that's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
But sometimes people are mentally tortured, and I don't mean to minimize the struggle of being, you know, what we call mentally tortured. Sometimes, whether it's a schizophrenic person or a mentally tortured person, they're also serving as a teacher to others of us to understand and be, we might say, a bit more a kinder person, a less judgmental person. When we observe and know someone who appears to be tortured, maybe they've come in to be a teacher to others.
Let's go to Mason in Dayton, Ohio. Another call from Dayton. Hi, Mason. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Mason.
Hey, I've had something happen over the last month and a half, and I want to run it by you, Linda. You're talking about souls. I had taken my grandma and father to the cemetery early June to look at some burial sites that my grandma purchased. I noticed my great uncle was buried there with no headstone. So I threw him flowers along with my grandpa and him and some other relatives around the other part of the cemetery. But I promised him that I was going to buy him a headstone. Okay, on June 9th, I have an outside camera at nighttime at 12:55. A white solid object in a smoky haze tripped that camera at 12:55 a.m. And then the following Saturday, it tripped it again at 2:55 a.m. But it was a solid object on June 16th. That was the same day that the cemetery sent me the proposal in an email that for the amount, you know, that it was going to cost for the headstone. And then 3 weeks have gone by, 3 weekends have gone by, nothing has happened. And all of a sudden I had something trip my camera on July 14th, and it tripped it at 11:34 p.m. 11:34 put upside down spells hell. And I truly, and it was the smoky haze, like in the first video. Do you think this is my great uncle's soul communicating with me? And then it spelled hell on the time because it was upset that I procrastinated for 3 weeks, you know, and I didn't actually get the ball rolling.
Hmm. What are the possibilities on that there, Linda?
I mean, Mason, my sense is no. That my sense would be that your great uncle was pleased that you sensed the guidance to place a headstone there. So I think we have to be careful not to get caught up in the negativity of, while I think numbers do have meaning, I'm not convinced that has anything to do, quite honestly, with hell.
Let's go to Melinda in Oregon real fast. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Sure thing, Melinda.
I had this, it was kind of like a dream, but not a dream, I was looking at, somebody showing me some pictures on a computer, and I realized that they were not the human people. You know, they were like bronzes of, like, not human. And they said, no, you're right. They're Mayan-Palladian hybrids. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah. And long story short, they said that I should be placing these statues back onto the earth at certain points so people wouldn't be afraid when they came back, because they left and they took, you know, their remnants with them. And I'm just wondering if this is just like, because then I went into a dream, and, you know, like a real dream, but this was like not a dream.
Well, if it's not a dream, what could it be, Linda?
Well, Melinda, I do believe there are souls that embody on Earth that come from the Pleiades. There are souls that come from many different places, including places with names that mean nothing to us. But I've had many clients who I believe are Pleiadian. So, yes, I think what you're saying is very likely valid.
Linda, keep in touch with us. Let's not let 10 years go by this time.
That sounds great.
All right, you take care of yourself. We'll be in touch. Linda Backman, her website, ravenheartcenter.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and her latest book, she's got three, Souls on Earth, Exploring Interplanetary Past Lives. Doc Wallach joins us from Critical Health News tomorrow, so make sure you're part of the program and get your questions ready to go. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.